Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, to find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. When you keep an open mind, you'll come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. You'll also see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. Now, tonight it's my pleasure to welcome back Dr. Mary Lou McIntyre. She is an author, a past life connector, and a fear buster. She helps those suffering from irrational fears to mend the past so they can overcome their fears and live happy, healthy, and successful lives. Her books, Fast Road to Happiness, Journey into Now, Life is Forever, Get Used to It, and The Forever Principles, Listening to an Angel Voice in My Head, will assist you on the spiritual path and provide roadmaps to enjoy your life forever. To schedule a past life exploration or learn more about her books, go to MaryLouMcIntyre.com. Mary Lou is spelled MarilouMcIntyre. McIntyre is McIntyre. MaryLouMcIntyre.com. And so, with that said, let me welcome Dr. McIntyre. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine, David. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
You are welcome. It's a pleasure to have you back again. What do you think about my premise that we're all spiritual beings having a human experience?
Oh, I think that's wonderful. And if people would just realize that, they could be much happier.
Mm.
And didn't you say we're all the same except for singing?
No, I said despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same.
Oh, our seeming. I thought you said our singing differences.
Oh, that too, I suppose.
That's cute.
Yeah. Well, you know, if we're spiritual beings having a human experience, how can we open ourselves to spiritual experience? That's the question.
Absolutely, yeah. That's a difficult one, except we have to recognize that we are spiritual beings and then go from there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We all have to start at ground zero.
Yeah.
And for some people, they don't have a clue.
Absolutely, yeah, because of fear or pressure or, you know, just the times that we're living in are pretty stressful for people.
Yeah, they are.
So they have to get beyond that and, you know, not let it affect them. I have a little bit that I would like to read, if that's okay, from my Fast Road to Happiness book.
Sure.
It's a little bit that will help people prepare to have a happy, happy new year.
Right.
Okay, this is out of chapter one. The major cause of problems in this life and past lives is usually the result of misuse of money, sex, and or power. These are the basic motivations, you know, source of energy for humans to achieve goals in life. One or more motivates most people, and if you're not motivated by any of them, then embrace one and use it properly to feed your energy to accomplish your dreams. There is nothing wrong with any of these three, the money, sex, and power, but misuse of any one of them can cause grave, literally, problems. This is why religious claim that they are sinful. The truth is, it's not their misuse that blocks living a good life. Correct use enhances life and love. Sometimes it may be difficult for you to pinpoint the cause of a problem or change its effect. Or maybe you feel that knowing the reason will help you to make the changes. That is when conscious past life regression can be helpful. And the experience that took place perhaps hundreds of years ago can help release fear or phobias. Once you have reviewed that past lifetime, as I have said before and will probably say again, you will know on a conscious level that you are no longer in need to relate to the condition because you are now in a different lifetime and situation. Armed with this knowledge, you can begin releasing any negative influence, automatic, you know, subconscious reaction in your present life. A marvelous insight or change in consciousness can often stimulate an instantaneous healing of mind, body, or soul. And that's my contribution for this year.
Well, thank you for that. It speaks to me, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about conscious past life regression, which you do. And tonight we're going to have snippets of it where people will come to you. And for the folks on the line, what Dr. McIntyre needs from you is some irrational fear or phobia that you have or a stumbling block that is causing you to have problems in this life. And with that, she can go to the Akashic Records, which is the Book of Life, and go to a lifetime from which you can obtain some healing by gaining some insight on how that problem originated. But when you work with a client and do a full-scale regression, tell us how that works. Are you there, Dr. McIntyre? I think I've lost her. Hang on, folks. I'm going to play a song for you and try dialing her back up. I'm going to play a song by a New Thought singer by the name of Jennifer Farron. It's called Throw It All Away. Please stay on the line, folks. We will get to you. So this is Jennifer Farron singing Throw It All Away.
Trauma that can come
have Dr. McIntyre back on the line. Sorry to interrupt the song, but I wanted to get on with the show.
Sure.
And I told Dr. McIntyre that I wondered what it was that she does with a full-scale session with clients. So maybe you could tell us what that's and what that involves.
Okay. Well, a full regression face to face with an individual is done without hypnosis. And through my guides and, you know, the spiritual help that I get, we can get out of the body and move back through time and space to the lifetime that caused the phobia or caused the fear that is still affecting an individual's life and causing irrational problems. And once they can actually see what is causing that fear or phobia, they can release it knowing that it has nothing to do with their present lifetime. Now, over the phone, it's very difficult to do that, so I can give a reading by getting connected through my spirit guides the past, their book of life, the individual's book of life, the Akashic records. And once I find out what their phobia or problem is, it is indicated, shown to me what their past life was that caused this problem, and I can relay that to the individual. We're connected actually through the vibrational sound and energy of our voices. So it's pretty remarkable, but it is a way of being able to help people without, you know, traveling all over and having to have offices and that kind of thing.
Sure.
So, and it's very beneficial. We've had some wonderful results. It's just a matter of realizing that you are in control of your life, but if you allow subconscious memories to affect your life, then you're not in control of your own life, are you?
No.
So it's a matter of taking control of your life and whether...
Don't worry about that. I don't know what's going on, but the show will continue. It just means that more callers can't call in, so don't worry about that.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Yep.
I am still available for these telephone communications or past life readings, and I'm going to have a special for your listeners. Gee, is this going out so they'll be able to hear?
Yes, they will still be able to hear. Don't worry.
Oh. Okay. I'm reducing it from $75 a half hour to $50 for a half hour for those that make up appointments and call in from now until the end of the year. And or if somebody wants an hour reading, they can have that for $75.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So it's my way of being able to, you know, share in Christ consciousness and help to, bring spiritual healing and real physical healing in some cases.
Well, that's wonderful. I apologize for that. I don't know what's going on, but the Blog Talk Radio is shut down, but we are operating live, and we are still on the air, so have no fear. Let me just ask you before we go to the phone lines, when did this all start for you, and how did it manifest?
Oh, good question. I had gone through some pretty rigorous spiritual development myself and, you know, changes in consciousness and awareness. And as I began to work with other people, helping them to develop spiritually, I realized there were a lot of people that were not getting helped medically or, you know, through the medical profession. And, you know, because doctors, they won't relate to anything except cutting and sewing and medication. And so I started putting out, you know, to my guides or whatever this power is that helps to guide us, a way to be able to help people that the medical profession is unable or unwilling to reach out and help. And I started getting dreams of past lives. And after a couple of weeks, I sent a message out to the universe that I'm not interested in my past lives. I'm trying to cope with this lifetime. So please, you know, give me some information on how I can help people that, you know, need the help. And finally, I got a message which was very unusual because I don't really consider myself a psychic, but I heard this voice in my head. It was a male voice, and it said, now listen here. And so I did. And it said, 95% of people's problems in this lifetime are the result of a problem from a past lifetime that they have carried through into this lifetime in their subconscious mind and have not been able to release it. And so you must learn how to regress people into past lives. Well, David, this was back when people weren't even talking about their dreams, let alone anything like healing through, you know, past life regressions or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I expressed that concern, you know, well, how am I supposed to do that? And I was told, we will help you. And so, you know, what do you say? I said, okay. You know? And so I started going through a series of development, first of all, to help activate and align my own chakras, you know, my own spiritual energy, so that I can have contact with this higher level of intelligence and energy to be able to help people. And so I had, I went through a half hour of, what do you call, exercise, and then another half hour of meditation. And I did that for about 3 or 4 weeks. I'm sorry, it was actually 3 or 4 months. And then I was told, okay, I'm ready.
Wow.
So I was at the time a spiritual leader of a group from the foundation in Portland, Oregon. And I was telling my students, you know, what I'd been going through, what was happening. And they volunteered as like guinea pigs for this experiment. And so I started, you know, regressing those students consciously. No hypnosis or anything like that. And it took like 2.5 hours per person. And but it was working, much to my amazement, because I hadn't ever heard of anything like this being done. And so after a while, I started traveling to the various groups, you know, the various branches of the foundation, and giving regressions, you know, all over the U.S. And I did some traveling outside of the country to England and Mexico and South Africa, places like that, to serve them in this way. And then I retired, and I thought, well, that's cool. I mean, I'm through with that. And that's when I wrote my books about my experiences and, you know, that I had gone through in my own spiritual development. And I was actually on the phone, on the radio, a radio interview, when a person called in and said she really needed help. She was having a terrible problem with a situation that was causing her to behave in very irrational ways. And I said, well, I have never done anything like that. I've always been face-to-face with an individual. And she said, please, please try. And so I did. And I'll be darned if I didn't see in my mind's eye a little figure come into like a huge library, pull down a book, and turn to a page and said, tell her this. And the message, you know, her past life experience, her problem, was then revealed to me, which I passed on to her, and created the healing for her. And so I realized, well, golly, I can do this over the phone. How wonderful. And I've been doing it ever since.
Perfect.
Yeah. So you see, these interviews and communication through the phone and through the radio are really, really marvelous, certainly in my life.
Well, that's wonderful. And I know you've been a lot of help to a lot of people. So let's go to the phone lines now, and we have a couple of people that have been patiently waiting for over 20 minutes. And the first caller is Catherine. And Catherine, you're live on the air with Dr. McIntyre.
Hey.
Hi, Catherine.
How you doing?
Very good. Can you speak up a little bit?
Hello?
Yes.
I think my problem might be a relationship problems. I've had two divorces and I'm not doing well in relationships.
Uh-huh. And you want to know why, of course, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me see. You might have to talk a little bit more because your voice is very soft and that's how the connection is made, but let me see if they can give me the information you need. You're a very old soul. You have had a lot of lifetimes. You have a big book of life. Are you aware of that at all? Do you meditate and get in touch with yourself and your experiences?
I try to. I don't do it on a regular basis, but I try to.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you know, whatever you do for yourself is, well, that's all that you're going to benefit because you're the only one that can help yourself. You do realize that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. They're taking me back to, I see a battle. I'm trying to figure out what kind of a battle this is. It's the French Revolution. Are you familiar with that in history?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah. What I'm able to do for you now is to open the door to that era, to that part of your lifetime or your existence on this planet. And through meditation and, you know, searching your own soul, you'll be able to overcome the problem. What I see is that you were like a, I'm getting the word master sergeant. You were a man, good looking man in your, maybe late 20s. And you're in charge, it looks like you're in charge of a regiment. You're in charge of a lot of people, and you have gained great respect from your fellow soldiers, and you're bivouacked in a small town. And you're from the the hierarchy or, you know, the rulers of that town to protect them against the mobs that are trying to destroy everything that has any kind of control or justice, that type of ruling, any kind of ruling situation. And because of your good reputation and your good looks and personality, you have a lot of women that are fawning over you. Do you know what that means? That's the word fawning. I think that's the word they used back in those days. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, okay. And you misuse them, darling. You would take advantage of them, and then when you no longer wanted to play with them, you just, like, threw them away and would have nothing to do with them and go on to another gal. And sometimes you had two or three, going in cycles or so. I don't know how else to explain it. Yeah. And so now in this lifetime, you're getting the experience of how it is when you kind of get thrown away. That's a very crude expression, you know, but that's your karma coming back to help enlighten you on how to relate to other people in a loving, meaningful way. And so rather than blaming yourself or thinking that you're at some kind of fault, just learn to love yourself, and then you can better love others and just, like, erase the behavior of mishandling or misappropriating people. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yeah, I need to learn how to love myself, yeah. And I'm trying to work on it.
Well, don't try to work on it. Do it, okay?
Okay.
When you say, I'm trying to work on it, that means it's not being accomplished.
What
know
do I
that
need
you
to
can
do?
Accomplish it. What?
Okay. What do I need to do to accomplish it, to get where I need to be?
Learn to love yourself as a divine reflection, divinely created in the image of perfection. And realize that perfection is within you, and that love, from divine sources flows through you and from you to others. And so when you love yourself, you can look in the mirror and say, I am the divine image of perfection. I love God and I serve humanity and I have the right to happiness. You know, affirmations like that.
Okay.
And don't be afraid of relationships, because I suspect that's part of it. You're afraid a relationship is not going to last, and sure enough, it doesn't. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What?
That is so true, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, there you are. So that's why you have to learn to love yourself, because there's nothing wrong with you except what has been imposed on you or misunderstood by you. You have that perfection. Go in and, bring it out in yourself and your actions. And let me know how things work out, okay?
Thank you.
And you can get my book if you're interested. David has told you the books. You can go to my website and get the books through, Amazon well, primarily through Amazon, and you know, go from there. That would be a good source. That's how I learned to love myself, so I can reach out and help others.
Okay. I want to ask you one question before you go.
What?
Okay. I want to ask you one question. Can you be bone white in one period and black in the next period, or you be bone the same color in both periods?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that question.
She asked if you can be born one race in one period and one in another.
Absolutely. And you can be born different sexes in different lifetimes, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's what you said.
Whatever you need to learn. That's how, and you plan it before you incarnate. So, you know, so that you can realize the highest and best within your nature, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling, Catherine. Have a happy holiday, whatever you
say. Absolutely, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, and best
for saying that, David.
Pardon me?
Thank you for saying that, the happy birthday, or Merry Christmas, or Happy Hanukkah.
Right. It's whatever you celebrate. So.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. God bless, Catherine.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, sweetie.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay. I don't know who our next caller is. They're calling from area code 646. What is your name, please? Hello. Are you there, 646?
Maybe not.
I don't know. We can try again. Let me just tell you that your area code is 646, and the first three numbers of your phone number are 824. Can you hear me? Well?
They must have hung up, huh?
Well, they're still there, but we'll come back to them. They might be...
They're shy.
Yeah. Well, let me run this one by you, Dr. McIntyre, because it's something that's developed for me over the last couple of years. I didn't used to have this fear before, but now when I am trying to pass a car, or when I am passing a car, I can look in my rearview mirrors and see that it's safe to pass, but I'm afraid that somebody's going to hit me. And this has come out of the blue just within the last couple of years, and it really mystifies me because I can't seem to get rid of it.
You're afraid to pass cars when you're on the highway?
I'm afraid I'm going to be hit. And even when I can see that it's clear to pass, I still have the sensation that somebody is going to hit me.
Okay, I see why. This takes you way, way back to the good old days in Rome. When Rome was, you know, the golden city, and you were a golden boy. Actually, you were a young man in your early 20s, and you were a chariot racer, which was always looked upon with the highest regard, because that was kind of dangerous, you know, with these, they just had two wheels and two horses pulling you, and they always had races for royalty and special occasions, because it was, well, so much fun for people to watch, because they love to watch dangerous things, you know. And so you were one of great acclaim, and because you were so successful in winning and getting all the, you know, adoration and oh my gosh, they throw flowers at you and all kinds of stuff. So, and the other drivers that weren't able to excel as well as you were doing were, of course, jealous of you, and some of them really had a terrible feeling towards you. They wanted to get rid of you. And, I see in one race, and I'm getting the year, Maybe you can check this out. I don't know. I'm getting 1345. That was a long time ago, David.
Oh, yeah.
1345 in Rome. And so these guys got together to figure out how to get rid of you because they were not getting the acclaim that they wanted and felt they deserved. And they had to get rid of you in order to be able to do that. And so they did. And I see them, they have like in the next, performance is the word I'm getting because that's kind of what they were like. They kind of like formed a semicircle in back of you. They let you lead, you know, get the lead, and then they kind of enclosed you. Can you visualize that?
Yes.
Okay. And then they took turns, the ones closest to you, took turns locking wheels with you. Not to where they would get thrown, but eventually what happened is it got so wobbly that one of the wheels rolled off, flew you in the air, and you were, thrown in the air. When you landed, you broke your right leg and hip in several places, and you were never able to do this racing again because you had to stand up. In the wagon. So so they accomplished what they wanted. They got rid of you, and you had no idea they felt this way towards you. And so it was a real shock, and you the rest of your life was rather unhappy. Because, here you were at the top of the scale of popularity and fame and everything else. And now, you were considered useless. That's the word I'm getting. At least that's how you felt. See?
Well, it's interesting because I do have a problem with my right hip and I've broken my right ankle.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Well, that's verification for you then.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to bring your attention to that lifetime. And what they want you to do, David, is realize that that was their problem that they imposed upon you. It was not your problem, nothing you caused or deserved even. You didn't deserve it. It was their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have to do is, well, forgive yourself for one thing, because when you passed, you vowed that you would never associate or be involved with people again. Well, obviously in this lifetime you are, totally involved with people. So you're on the right track, and you just have to know that people cannot, or you should not allow people to affect your lives, your life.
Well, it's interesting, and I don't know if you can comment on this, but I have a cleaning lady, and you gave her a reading where she also was a gladiator. And so I'm wondering if there might be any connection there between that lifetime and
absolutely.
This life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe she was the one of the ones.
Could very well be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're helping her in this lifetime, because you're allowing her the opportunity to work off the karma that she owes you.
Yeah. Well, she's a good worker, so she's doing it.
Yeah.
She's a good worker. Well, God
bless your heart for allowing her to do this.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
You're sure welcome. So,
and I'm grateful for her help. She's a wonderful person.
Yeah. Well, you know my famous saying, David, get over it.
Yeah, I know.
Love yourself, baby. Love yourself.
Right, right.
And love others as you do.
Well, let's see if the caller is still there and willing to talk to you.
Okay.
Area code 646, can you hear me? I guess they are shy.
And they're not disconnected?
No, they're not disconnected. They're here. Well,
oh, I don't know what to say, my goodness.
I don't either. But I guess they're not going to get a reading tonight.
Yeah.
Well, what kinds of feedback have you gotten from clients, Dr. McIntyre, after they've had sessions with you?
In my book, Fast Road to Happiness, I go into detail on many of the regressions that I've given, whether it's for group or a family or an individual, and how it affected them, and how, you know, the healing manifested. There's a couple. Let me tell you about this one. It was a couple with two children heading to the west. They lived in the east, but the big gold thing was going on in the west, and they wanted some of it. So they packed up the family and headed out, and I see them going through the desert. I'm trying to pick out the name. It's oh gosh, I had it there, and now it's gone. But anyhow, this was a long, deserted, dried up desert,
mm-hmm.
And they were in a car. It was shortly after cars, you know, became used, and this is why they were able to make the trip, because they bought a car. And what happened was, it's not the painted desert. It keeps wanting to pop into my head, and it can't quite make it. But anyhow, the car broke down. And here they are in this desert in, like, probably Arizona, an area like I live in. And there was no traffic. And, you know, so they couldn't hail help or anything like that. And certainly it was before cell phones. And so they started really running low on water, and they realized that they were going to have to go somewhere, you know, get to a city or a town or, you know, where there were people that could help them. And so the father set out to get help, and the mother stayed with the two children in the car, and in the daytime it was sweltering hot. Yeah, it was really miserable, and they ran out of food and water, and the youngest child passed, just could not survive in that heat with no nutrition or water. So they buried her. The mother and the oldest daughter buried her. And then the oldest daughter, it was about 4 days, she collapsed. She passed. And then it was just down to the mother. And eventually, because the father never came back, So she died of starvation and thirst. But when she passed, she just sent so much love to her husband, concern for his safety. She just hoped that he had gotten somewhere where he was safe, because he still hadn't been able to get back to help them.
Yeah.
But her concern was for him, and her love was for him. And he had taken off over the dunes, and oh my gosh, just terrible. You know, all there was shrubbery. Couldn't even, you know, find anything on any of the trees or shrubs to eat or drink. And so he collapsed, and he died of thirst, dehydration, actually, is what I'm being told. And in his passing out of the body, he felt such guilt and such blame that he had been unable to help his family. So in this lifetime, they came back together, and they had a regression with me, and her concept of that lifetime was, you know, one of sadness because they hadn't made it to the Golden City and gotten wealthy, but they had separate readings. So hers was, you know, of her sadness that they hadn't been successful, and her concern for him. Now, and his was, as I said, such great remorse and blame that he had been unable to help them. And so, you see, it depends on how people look at the situation they're involved in. Because it was the same situation. I mean, they were both there together in this situation. And one, you know, ended up really hating themselves. And the other just had such sadness and love for, you know, for her mate. So I found that so interesting that it was the same lifetime. They didn't talk to each other or anything, you know, when they... between their, you know, their lifetimes. I'm not expressing them this well, but they had no connect. She came in and had her regression, left and didn't talk to him, and then he came in and had his. In other words, there's no way they could have collaborated this story just to, you know, make up a story.
Yeah.
And so I found it very interesting. And then, you see, then they were able, because they were back together as husband and wife in this lifetime, and his sadness about, you know, not being able to provide properly was affecting their present marriage. And so this healed not only each one of them, but their marriage. And I thought that was very, a very wonderful experience for them and for me.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Okay.
Well, we still have that caller here. I'm going to try one last time. Area code 646, I'm coming to you to see if you want to have a past life reading. And you're live on the air. Can you hear me? Okay.
No, they must have just left the phone off the hook.
I think so, yeah.
And left the room or something.
Yeah, that could well be. That's not the first time that's happened.
Oh, gosh.
Well, you know, it's been a wonderful evening and a couple of really good readings, and I think it will there's a lot of good information that's also there for people that listen to it on the podcast. So I'm going to wish you a merry, merry Christmas, And I am looking at the calendar here because I have you down. Oh, wait a minute. Let me double check it for the folks that will be listening to this. Hang on, folks. I'm checking the calendar. Okay. I have you down for February 24th. Does that resonate for you?
That's what I have.
Okay, very good.
Right.
Well, I'll look forward to that, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, the same to you, David. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and a Happy New Year.
Okay. With that said, we come to a close. Let's take time to pause and reflect upon the idea that we're all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There's no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are indeed spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we let it be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. Good night, and God bless.